Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purchases love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth. I shall come forth.
Mark chapter number 9, and I'm going to share some other scripture with you. Thank you, Matthew, for reading the scripture. And as I've already said, I can't say it enough, Pastor BJ is our children's director here at the church. He certainly didn't do the work alone, but he spearheaded today's services. This is our first annual Children's Sunday. We have Youth Sundays every fifth Sunday. And he and I began to pray, and I just felt led in my heart that we needed to do something to get the children involved. It's just one thing to bring them to church and to bus them into church and to teach them and to train them and to help them to know more about Jesus. But I want to allow them to take that teaching and that training and put it into use in the local church, so that when they go to the next level, which will be junior church, we'll hand them off to Brother Davey and Sister Amanda, Brother Calvin and Sister Buffy, and then they'll train them on that level, and then they'll move on up to the next level to Brother Allen and Sister Sharon, and they'll train them on that level, and then they'll move on up to the next level, Brother David and Sister Meredith, and they'll train them, and then they'll move on up to the next level, Brother Brandon and Sister Jennifer, and then they'll train them. And you say, what happens then, preacher? If they hadn't got enough training then to serve God, I don't think they're ever going to serve God. Amen. Oh, I just believe they will, you see. But that's the way I believe God ordains it. I really do. I believe there has to be purpose, and I believe there has to be direction. And I just believe that God raises up people that will train, that He'll spearhead and have people to train those children on their level in the local church. And I'm thankful for it. Now, every church may not do it that way. That's just the way God's led us. Amen? Mark chapter number 9, God's laid some things on my heart I want to talk to you about the little children. Thank you, Pastor BJ, for the good message this morning. We had two children get saved this morning. Dr. Thompson brought that young lady down the aisle this morning. I tell you, it's been a long time since I've seen a young lady under that kind of conviction. That young lady was under conviction. Amen? I mean, she was trembling. She was crying. She was ready for something and someone in her life. And I'm glad that she got introduced to Jesus Christ this morning. And then old Elias come and, And Brother Calvin brought him to me and said he received Jesus as his personal Savior this morning. And I'm so glad that Elias got saved. Amen. Listen, many times when an old drunk gets saved, and I'm glad Jesus still saves old drunkards. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Those two that got saved this morning can get saved from a life style like that. They can get saved from ever having to live the lifestyle of a drunkard. Amen. And we ought to just be praising God. Jesus reached down into this congregation of people this morning and saved those two young people. No telling what God's going to do with their life. Amen. And get excited, brethren. I'm excited about what God is doing, saving sinners. Young and old, male and female, bus riders, those that ride the bus, those that ride their car. I believe Jesus saved somebody to ride a bicycle here. Amen. I just believe that with all of my heart. And so I want to talk to you about, let's get them under the sound of the gospel. Let's get them under the sound of the gospel. Let's get them under the sound where they can hear what we sing about. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Troy said yesterday when they were out visiting, that little girl got saved this morning. Kalia is her name. He said that when she saw him, she approached him and said, I want to come to church. I want to ride the bus in the morning. See, Jesus was already working on her heart. Amen. And Troy got her here so she could sit under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Listen, she could have got saved right there in that store. Jesus will save you anywhere. Amen. But I do believe if you can get them under the sound of the gospel, you get them in the local church where the Bible, where the Word of God is preached and the power of God is moving and people have been praying, you get them in an environment like that, brother, the Spirit of God will fall on their life and they'll get under conviction. And when they come forward, they won't be chomping gum and smiling and laughing and giggling. And you won't have to ask them why they come forward. Amen. You'll know that it's real. Conviction is real. And as Pastor BJ preached this morning, when you come as a little child in childlike faith, in dependency that way, I could see it in her eyes. She knew that it was bigger than anything that she could do or anything that any human could do. And she met Jesus this morning, and so did Elias. And I'm very, very grateful for that in my heart. I am so grateful that those two young people got saved this morning. Well, I talked to you a little bit this morning about some of the subject material tonight that led to it. Of course, we knew that leading up to tonight, Pastor BJ and I had discussed this. We'd prayed about it. And I was supposed to be out of town. We were going to do this last week. And God worked it out to where, well, my family and I could be back this week and that the Children's Sunday would be moved to this week. And I'm glad that we did that. This past week while we were away, and by the way, thank you for praying for us. We had a very relaxing time. It was a great time just to relax and unwind. And I feel refreshed and I'm thankful for what God did and just refreshing me. And thank you for your prayers and thank you for caring and the many welcomes that we got as we returned. While we were away, we heard some very distraught news, some distressing news, discouraging. It was something that is just touched my heart. When you heard about it, no doubt, there was a shooting, a school shooting in Anderson, South Carolina. I think the name of the little town there is Townville. And there was a 14-year-old boy who shot his father and then went to the school. You heard about this? You've read about this? You've heard? And the little 6-year-old boy. Just broke my heart. Little boy went to school like any other day. Headed out to the playground. And he got gunned down like an animal. Brethren, these things are increasing. These horrifying stories that we hear, they're happening with more frequency. Our culture's gone mad. We've kicked God out. We've told God we want nothing to do with Him. We've got men who say they're preachers who won't preach the Bible. We've got Christians who say they're Christians who won't live the Bible. We've got a government that says they're a government for the people who do not trust in God, who want God out of government, out of the public arena. I'm going to tell you, brother, we're in trouble. Now listen to me. We're living like a bunch of wild animals. Our culture has gone crazy. And a lot of people who profess to be Christians are dipping into it. And I want to try to encourage you tonight to stay away from that stuff and to stay on praying ground and to stay in your Bible and to understand that we have nothing to do with this old world system now. We need to be praying. We need to be reaching people. But as far as getting involved with this world system, we're going to have to draw the line and understand that we have been sanctified. We've been set apart by the Spirit of God to represent Christ in this old sin-cursed world. Here in Mark chapter number 9, there's several things that happen here. The chapter begins with Jesus going up on the mountain. He takes Peter and James and John. And you know about this occasion, the Mount of Transfiguration. It's what it's called. And of course, the other nine disciples stay at the foot of the mountain while Jesus carries Peter, James, and John to the top. And he was transfigured. There they meet with Elijah and Moses. You know the account of Scripture. And while they were up on the mountain getting a view of the holiness of God and the second coming of Jesus Christ, getting that view, that vision of the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, the transparency, the Shekinah glory, at the foot of the mountain, there was some trouble. There was a parent who brought his son to Jesus. Well, he actually brought him to the disciples. He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus is on the mountain, so his disciples were there. And you can kind of find that where it says, you know, I brought, verse number 14, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude, Mark chapter 9, verse 14, about them, and the scribes questioning with them. Verse 15 says, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. So it appears from the reading of the Scripture that the intention of the Father was not to bring this son to the disciples. It was to bring him to Jesus. But Jesus was not physically, bodily present, so his disciples were there, and he just assumed, well, being followers of Jesus, then you ought to be able to help me. And can I tell you that people do assume that of us? Amen. People do assume that of the disciples of the Lord. They do assume that we can get them the help that Jesus could get them because we are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, well, and I want you to underline that word if you would. And they, could you underline that next word? Could not, which means it implies that there was certainly an effort. Didn't say they would not. This is not dealing with the people who do not care, who are not compassionate, who didn't put forth an effort. They put forth an effort. They wanted to do something, but they were powerless to do something with this young child. Young man, I believe at this point he was a young man because of what I'm going to show you here in just a moment. And of course, Jesus spoke and he answered and saith in verse number 19, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Watch this next. And there's another word I want you to underline. And they. Did you notice that? It didn't say his father. And they. It took more than one. And they brought him unto him. Obviously, this child was out of control. This young man was out of control. He was demon oppressed, if not possessed, and he was just out of control. And so, if you could somehow envision in your mind a chaotic situation where Jesus and the three disciples, it's known as the inner circle up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they come down, there's a lot of commotion, and the Lord Jesus goes over and he asks, hey, what's going on? Why are you questioning them? And you follow along, and there's just a lot of commotion, a lot of chaos, And this child obviously just going through fits and a rage, and it kind of sounds like a grocery store scene in today's world, right? Right? I mean, you see this kind of stuff on a regular basis where people, I mean, where children just absolutely are out of control. Out of control. And listen, I'm here to tell you, children, as much as I do not understand all there is about this, children can be possessed by devils. They can. Here's one that was. What his age was, I do not know. But I do know this. They brought him in verse number 20, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. I find it very interesting what Jesus asked his father, because Jesus knew the answer to this question. So this question is not for Jesus' information. This question is with an implied thought of, why have you waited to now to bring him? Notice what he asked in verse number 21. He asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? How long has this been going on? You get the drift. And the scripture says in verse number 21, and he said of a child. It's been going on since he was little. A child. And so then the scripture says, the father says in verse number 22, oftentimes it casts him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And then this father makes this statement, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion. And again, I want you to notice the wording here, on us. Now, parents in the building tonight will certainly understand why that statement is made. Because when your children hurt, you hurt. Right? We have some parents in the building tonight whose children are not in church tonight. And your heart is hurting because of that. And well, it should. And we certainly should rally around you and pray for you and pray with you and pray that God would reach down and that God would put a protective net and that God would watch over your children while they're out of God's will. It can happen to any of us. You do understand that. It can happen to any of us. And here's a father that is burdened, and he said, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You know, homes are dysfunctional and disruptive because of a lack of God in their life and God in their family, and that's what I want to talk to you about. Here's a man. Don't know why he waited to when he waited. I don't have the answer to all those things. Not sure really what went on. Maybe he just heard Jesus was in the area and he brought his son. Not sure what was going on here in its entirety. I do know bits and pieces and I can take what the scripture gives me, but I don't want to read between the lines. Sometimes we can do that, but I wouldn't share it as gospel. But I do know this. I know that eventually, whether it got so bad, whether it just got to a point to where this father said, hey, something's got to be done. We're going to have to try this religion stuff. You know, this religious man, this miracle worker, this divine healer. We're going to have to get my son to somebody that can do something that's outside of the realm of the possible. We've got to get somebody that can do the impossible, because my situation seems impossible about right now. Brethren, we're living in a world where many, many, many people live that life every day. Every day. Their families are out of control. Don't you think for a moment, sir, because you're a Christian and your wife is a Christian and your children are Christians and you have a good family and you have a good home and you have a functional family, a family of faith. You come to church and you worship God. Don't think that that's the way it is for all your neighbors. Amen. Let's not be so naive to think that everyone lives that life. Brethren, there are many, 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 many people who live this life right here. Their children are out of control. Their homes are out of control. They don't know what to do. If you wanted to draw a little bit of a picture, it's like they've tried to talk to some religious people, like the disciples, and nothing could be done. Well, I just want to go ahead and tell you tonight, brethren, religion's not the answer. You know that. Amen. Religion's not the answer. Jesus is. And I think you know what I'm talking about. We've got to get them to Jesus, brethren. We've got to get them to Jesus. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the church. Thank God for good pastors. Thank God for good churches. Amen. It's not about the Christian schools. Thank God for good Christian schools. Amen. It's not about the things, and all of these things can be a part of it. Camps and conferences. Events. We have got to get people to Jesus Christ. He's the answer. This man did not get any help until he stood before Jesus Christ. And then at that point, he had lost some faith to where he began to question even the power of Christ. Perhaps he had heard that Jesus had done all of these miraculous things, but because he went to his disciples and they did not have the power to do what he came for, he lost some faith, and now he's asking if Jesus can even do it. And that's why he said in verse number 22, he said, "But if thou canst do anything." I tell you, when you get to that place, you're desperate. If you can just help us a little, amen. I mean, you know, we just need some help. Now, you know some people that way tonight, and I do too. And there's no need in any of us trying to make ourselves and to soothe our conscience and make ourselves believe that we don't know anyone in this condition, because we do. Some of them, listen, live right next door to us. Some of them are within a rock's stone's throw of us. There are many, many people that we could get to Jesus. We're just going to have to get out there and get done, brethren. Going to have to get out there and get it done. Let me talk to you about that. Now, Jesus said unto him, and he flipped it on him, and he said, "No, it's not if I, it's if you. If thou canst believe." Amen. Don't limit my power. Amen. Isn't that what Jesus is saying? Don't limit my power. My power is as strong as your faith. How strong is your faith? How much power are you willing to exercise faith to unlock? If thou canst believe, all things are possible. You believe that? I do. See, I believe all the Bible. How about you? Amen. All things are possible in him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out. And no doubt he cried out with tears, and he said what probably every parent in this building tonight has said at one time or another. Every adult, maybe every person in this building at one time or another has said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. God, you know I believe. But my faith is weak, and I need my faith strengthened." Right? Have we felt that way before? Yeah. Sometimes things can get us in that position of life. Well, I won't go through all this, but Jesus begins to try to teach the disciples some things about his upcoming appointment with the cross. He tells them they need to get to fasting and praying, that there are some things out there that it's going to take some fasting and praying to undo. And then in verse number 36, he took a child. The disciples, I find it very, really it's kind of discouraging, because if we're not careful, this is what we'll be doing. There's a world that is full of devils. There are children that are medicated. Now listen to me, that are medicated. That's many of the world's answer to the situation. Listen, if your child's on medication, I'm not speaking of every child, but I'm talking to you about a problem in our society. When there's children, they have a problem. First thing that the world wants to do is sedate them. Let's put them on medications. They'll do it to you too. Now listen to me. Don't get angry at me. I want to help you. And if you're in this situation, get some help. All right? Listen, I'm not saying if you take medication, you shouldn't. I'm not saying if your child takes medication. I am saying beware. All right? All right, that's what I'm saying. We're living in a world where when a child starts acting out of sorts and starts acting similar to what's going on here, then the first thing that the world wants to do, the first thing that psychologists and these psychoanalysts want to do is put them on some kind of pill. Well, I heard one man say, old country preacher said, the only pill we need to give them is the gospel. Amen. And I believe that will answer a lot of the problems now. I'm not saying that there's not some that don't need medications. But by and large, I would beware of that stuff. Beware of it. So, what's going on here? There's a world dying and going to hell. There are people that are trying to get to Jesus. There are people that are bringing their children. There are people that need help. There are people whose homes are crumbling. The foundation of their home is crumbling. The world is falling apart. And they're trying to get to someone who can do something for them. You know what the disciples are concerned about? If you'll look in verse number 33, he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves about by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. I'm going to tell you what's hurting us now. We have got so wrapped up in ourselves. I said we. Not pointing a finger at you. Well, I am actually, but it's just a habit. We have gotten so wrapped up in ourselves that if we're not careful, this will be where we'll be. And I'm preaching this message to help us as a church to guard against this. Because it can happen. It can happen to where we will become competitive. There'll be a competition. Well, I want to sing better than her. And I want to be able to teach better than him. And I want to be able to do this better than them. And I want my name called from the pulpit more than those. Hey, listen to me. This is what kills churches. Kills them. Dead. The Spirit of God leaves that type of environment. So there's a world dying and going to hell, and there's a bunch of disciples concerned about who's going to be the greatest among them. Now, I'm not saying that's going on here. I'm not saying that at all. We've already said today that we appreciate all the workers and the helpers that helped us. But what I am saying, let us guard against it because it can happen. And you know what happens? While we're inside the church fighting and jousting over position and who's going to get recognition, the world outside the church is dying and going to hell saying, I wouldn't go down there if you paid me to go down there. Amen? And so God help us to watch ourselves. And I want you to notice what Jesus did. And this is the gist of the message. Jesus said, I want to teach you a little object lesson. And in verse number 36, he took up a child and set him in the midst of them. You know, I can't help but just believe that the disciples had to go back to that situation at the foot of the mountain. He took up a child and set him in the midst. And this is what he said. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. He said, you need to get involved in ministry that is like this, toward others, receiving people. Ministry has to be sacrificial. Ministry, someone has said, that costs nothing, accomplishes nothing. If I'm not willing to sacrifice, if I am not willing to put aside my personal agenda for God's kingdom and the purpose of Christ, I'm not going to accomplish much for God. You're not either. And yet we live in a day where if we're not careful, it's all about us. Can I encourage every parent here tonight to build your home around the Bible? Amen. Build your family around the Word of God. go home tonight and get your family in a circle and put the Bible right in the middle and say, this book right here is going to be the center of all that we do, of all that we think, of how we act, of how we treat people. This book, the Bible, is going to be the foundation for how we live our lives. Not the TV, not your favorite sports team, not Facebook, not Instagram. The Bible is what's going to guide our lives. Read the Bible to your children every day. Amen. Read the Bible. Memorize Scripture. Have them here at Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting, vacation Bible school, youth meetings, children's meetings. Hey, this is what's going to change our culture. The Word of God changes lives. That's what it's going to take. Listen, you don't raise your children now on a wing and a prayer. You don't raise your family just hoping. There's got to be a specific plan. There's got to be an aim. Amen. There's got to be a purpose. There's got to be a cause. There's got to be more than half-hearted, part-time. I'm here to tell you, brethren, that's not going to get it done. It's not going to get it done. It's going to take a commitment to Jesus Christ. A commitment to His Word. A commitment to His cause. I tell you, my heart just swelled up when Pastor BJ got up here. I know he's a show-off. I appreciate Pastor BJ. I appreciate the families in this church that serve God with their family. That just blesses me. Serve God with your family. You say, preacher, I can't sing like that. Well, you didn't hear Pastor BJ. I heard him singing. He can't sing. A little bit. But you know what he did do? What he could do? He played the guitar. Amen. What can you do? You say, preacher, I can't do anything. Yes, you can too now. God has gifted every saved person in this building. God has given you an ability, a gift, a talent. Find it. Use it. Come to church and get it groomed. Use it to benefit others. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that God gifts His people to profit withal. Oh my, what could Fellowship Baptist Church do if every believer used the talent that God has given them? Pastor BJ, bless my heart, brother. Bless my heart. And many of you serve God with your family. This man right here. People that are serving God with their families, that's where it's at. You can do it too. You can do it too. I want you to look down in verse number 42. I understand the context of the scripture here. And whosoever should offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Now I understand the context of scripture, the word servitude and children. I understand that, okay? But I want to tell you something. It's not doing any harm to the scripture to say, you better be careful about the way you treat children. Amen. These people that are roughhousing and mistreating children, we live in a country where child trafficking, child pornography, now listen to me, it's glorified. That's right. It's glorified. I'm going to tell you, there's a hot hell for those people. You read the rest of the chapter. This is real now. It's real. I don't wish anyone into hell. I want my heart to be the heartbeat of God. I'm not willing that any should perish. I want all to come to repentance. I'm trying to get them saved. I hope you are. I believe you are. We want to get them saved. But I want to tell you something now. People that abuse and misuse and mistreat children, not going to end well for them. Not going to end well. It's not. Parents, I want to warn you now. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to warn you. Don't leave your children alone in public places. All right? Exercise prudence and caution. This is not the world that you grew up in. As someone has said, this is not your grandfather's world. Right? Days are different. Don't be sending your children to the bathroom alone. Listen, I'm sorry I have to stand up here and tell you this, but I'm going to tell you some things now. You be cautious. There are some sick people out there. The devil has his crosshairs. He has his sights set on your family and my family. He has his sights. He's got his big guns aimed at our children and our grandchildren. And you're looking at a preacher. I'm not a big man. But I'm going to fight you for my children and grandchildren. Amen. Now, the way I fight these days, I used to be a redneck. And don't you, listen, don't you say amen. I fight my battles on my knees now. I've got in touch with a power that's much greater than me. I've learned when I read those Bible stories that the battle's the Lord's, brethren. Amen. Pray for your children. Set an example before them. Let them see the love of God in your life. Let them see the passion of God in your life. Your children ought to see you reading your Bible, Daddy. Amen. Could you imagine what it would have been? I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Sister Betty obviously didn't grow up in a Christian home. Many of you didn't grow up in a Christian home. Could you imagine what it would have been to walk through and peek over and see your daddy on his knees reading his Bible? It meant a lot to many of us. Some of you that have that, you ought to go home tonight and hug your daddy's neck. Say, thank you, Dad. Thank you. Thank you for loving God and teaching me how to love God. Thank you, Mama. Thank you for praying for me. You know the reason some of you here tonight saved? Because you had a mama who knew how to get hold of heaven. That's why. And she wouldn't let you go until Jesus has done his work in your life. Right? You be sure to thank them now. You be sure to thank them. Don't think you just woke up one day and decided you was going to get saved. Mom prayed that conviction on your hearts, what she did. And we need to learn to be thankful for that. So parents, beware, all right? Beware. Be cautious. Live the right example. I want to give one more thing. I know it's been a little scattered tonight, but I just wanted to give you some things on my heart. I want you to turn to chapter 10, and I'll read some scripture, and then this will be my final thoughts before we close. In chapter number 10, in verse number 13, the Bible says they brought... By the way, the rest of chapter number 9 and even on chapter 10 deals with what happens to people who do not do what God says about the little ones. And then chapter number 10 begins to talk about family, divorce, broken homes. And then it goes straight from that after Jesus begins to talk about broken homes and wrecked and ruined marriages. He says in verse number 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Now we heard a little bit about that this morning, and I'm not going to go into great detail about this. But we don't want to become that church that turns our nose up at the little children. I encouraged my Sunday school class this morning, when you leave class today, go find a little child and shake their hand or hug their neck and say, I sure am glad you're here today. Amen? When children come to this church, whether it's on the bus, whether you see them in the hallway, now there's been times that I'm just sure that some of these children thought, I think somebody, I forgot who it was, asked their parent if I was God. Because my voice, when I told them, you know, stop it. Don't do that. They probably thought, wow. They probably thought they heard that on Sinai, Mount Sinai. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm not talking about letting children just do as they please and how they please and run roughshod, but I'm saying this. We don't want to be the church that turns the little children away. We want to invite them in. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to prayerfully consider something. We've got revival coming up. Next Sunday, Dr. Comfort, Ron Comfort's going to be with us. And he preaches to the church. He preaches to the families. Now, he'll preach salvation messages. So I want you to go home, and I want you to think about some families. And I want you to invite them to church. Invite them to church. Invite them to your home for a meal. If you have to, go by and pick them up and bring them to church. You say, preacher, that doesn't work. I beg your pardon. It's already worked. This is the way it used to be done. Amen. It's the way you build a church. You go out and you win the lost. Instead of looking at them and turning your nose up at them and saying, why do they have three different colors of hair? You go to them and tell them that you'd like for them to come to church with you Monday night or Sunday morning, that there's going to be a guest speaker and you think they'd like it to hear him speak. You like our church and you invite them to come, all right? Bring somebody with you to the revival meeting. Invite families. You say, preacher, I just don't know any families. Sure you do. Every one of us know 2, 3, 4, probably half a dozen or more families we could get under the sound of the gospel. Amen. We got 50, 100 people saved here next week. You believe that? We either believe with God all things are possible or we don't. And if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Isn't that what Jesus said? Problem's not that God's quit working. We've quit believing. But let us not be that people. All right? Invite people. Bring them. You got to pray. Set aside some time. Skip lunch. And pray. Amen. Ask God to do something special. Ask God to move in the services. Save sinners. Convict hearts. Christians walk the aisle and get right with God. Notice if you would what the scripture says in verse 14. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them and blessed them. Now Jesus loves the little children. And we love the little children. And we want to reach them. We want to teach them. We don't want to just reach them and bring them in for activities. I'm for activities. And we're going to continue to have activities. I thank God for the junior department. The fall brawl's coming up. And we have other events, camps, and events that are coming up. Conferences. But above all of that, we've got to teach them. Teach them. We invite them. They hear the gospel. They get saved. Now we've got to disciple them. You've got to get involved in that. And if we're going to get involved in discipleship, it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to change our schedule up a little bit. But brethren, it's worth it. There's nothing like it. We're going to have to invest in people's lives. Whose life are you willing to invest in? Is it a neighbor? A family member? Maybe somebody you know who used to go to church and now they go to church no longer. Maybe they were hurt. Maybe legitimately. And God wants to use you to minister to them and to reach out to them and to help them. Who'd God lay on your heart? What name is in your mind? It can be done. If we're going to change the culture, this is the way it's going to happen. Amen? You say, preacher, I'm tired of people going in and shooting up our children and I'm tired of all of these things. Listen. I'm for voting. I'm for taking care of every responsibility that we as citizens have. But I'm going to tell you how we're going to get culture changed. The Word of God. The Word of God. Share it. Share it. Go in your neighborhood. Tell people about Jesus. We were out to eat on vacation. And this young lady came to our table. She had a deep accent. Brother David asked her, said, what's your accent? She said, well, she was a younger lady. She said, well, I'll ask a question, let you answer the question, and then you'll know where my accent's from. She said, she named territories, and she said, it's fixed right in the middle of that. And we all looked at her like, hey, listen, we didn't know there's going to be any geography involved in this, amen? We just want to know what your accent is. We didn't come here for a test, we want a good meal, amen? And she could tell by the look on our face, she said, well, where did World War II start? And I think it was Kirsten. said, Poland. She said, that's where I'm from. And so as time went on, we tried to befriend her and be kind to her. And as she brought us her check, I asked her, in Poland, do they have churches there that you attended? She said, I'm a Catholic. She said, but when I come to the United States, Catholics here are different. And she started identifying the differences. And I said, okay. I said, her name was Inya. And I said, Inya, I asked you a question. Are you going to heaven? She said, do you mean by the church? The church? I said, no. She got really nervous. Real nervous. I mean very nervous. And just, you know, started getting fidgety and nervous. And I said, no, not the church. Jesus. Do you know anything about going to heaven through Jesus? And she literally walked away and was nervous. I think she was about to trip over something. And so Brother David gave her a gospel tract and told her, this tract tells you the Bible way to get to heaven. Today, while we were having lunch, Jean spoke up and said, you know, I've been thinking about that young lady. It's sad. She had no clue of what we were speaking of. Brethren, there's people that live all around us. They don't know how to get to heaven. They don't understand. They think God is a big bully in heaven or a figment of someone's imagination. They think church is a waste of time and Jesus is a fairy tale. That Christmas is about Rudolph and Frosty. They don't understand that God sent His Son and that He died for them and that He was buried and He rose again the third day. But thank God we have been allowed to be put in trust with the gospel. We can get it out there. But we've got to take it to them. Can I impress upon your heart to do that this week? You want to stop people from doing heinous, wicked, ugly things? Get them to the author of this book because he changes lives. Amen? So, well, if our government would just pass this legislation, and I'm for it, brother, I'm for it. But the problem is in the heart. It's in the heart. And Jesus changes the heart. We got a gospel tract rack out there full of tracts. Would you pick up a few when you leave tonight? And would you purpose in your heart, by the grace of God, I'm going to pray for boldness, and I'm going to approach that person on my job or in that 7-Eleven or in that Sheets or in my neighborhood that God, I pass in and pass by every day, and God, give me an opportunity. God, put them in my pathway. If you'll do it, God, I'll share. I'll share it with them. Would you do that? It'll make a difference in their life. Nothing like winning souls to Jesus. Amen? Let's all stand. I know these thoughts were scattered. I had some other things, but I'll not share it. God gives me opportunity every day to share the gospel. He gives them to you too. Sometimes I seize those opportunities, and I'm sad to tell you that sometimes I don't. I'm ashamed. God help me. God help you. God help us. What's going to change the lives, and what's going to change for our children? We need to get them saved. We need to get their parents saved. That's what's going to change. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask